tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's January 26th, 2026, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. Last week's news was dominated by a winter storm that tore through most of North America with record cold and record snow, the likes of which we haven't seen in at least 10 years, and it got real bad just about everywhere. Now, of course, a couple of weeks ago, I wrote this article, Home Solar in Rural America, talking about what kind of solar and battery system you'd need to keep your well pump running. And that kind of inspired me to do a follow-up for this weekend. How much battery do you need in a winter storm? There's no shortage of advice on how to size a home solar and battery system, but most of it assumes a suburban home with city services and outages measured in hours, not days. Rural homes play by different rules in America, especially during major winter storms, when ice and snow take down lines and your utility prioritizes restoring power to urban neighborhoods. Having a home battery isn't about convenience, it's about damage control. Now, when sizing your home's battery, Tesla's own website suggests understanding your current energy as a first step. That energy use is measured in kilowatt hours and represents the total amount of electricity your house consumes. To get a sense of your daily usage, take a recent utility bill and divide the total kilowatt hours by the number of days in the month. To keep the math simple, let's say you used 900 kilowatt hours in 30 days. 900 divided by 30 equals 30 kilowatt hours a day. Now, 30 is a lot, but keep in mind that utility bills are often cyclical, and air conditioners, which are usually a home's largest electrical load in the summer, don't usually factor into winter months. The U.S. Department of Energy recommends identifying a limited set of your most critical loads and using that as a baseline to drive energy use to about 12 kilowatt hours. We've got a couple of different backup load scenarios here. These are provided by Berkeley Labs. You can see some of the things that you can take out of there. Obviously, ceiling fan, it'll be cold enough in a winter storm. Clothes dryer, clothes washer, you can live without doing your laundry for a day or two. Dishwasher, same deal. Exterior lighting, hey, it's dark outside, you can keep that to a minimum. An extra refrigerator or garage freezer, hey, it's freezing outside already, you don't need to be running those. If you can work on that kind of thing and identify some of the limited use critical loads, things like water pumps that only need to run some of the day instead of all of the day, you can definitely get that number down. The next thing Tesla recommends is that you need to understand your power needs. This is the part that gets confusing, because while excess capacity is expressed in kilowatt hours, they tell you how long your battery can run. The output expressed in kilowatts determines how many things it can run at the same time. That's important because some relatively high capacity batteries out there offer just 3 to 5 kilowatts of continuous power, often just enough to power the lights or refrigerator, the occasional microwave or coffee pot, but not much else. The good news is, if your budget forces you to go for one of the smaller battery options on the list, is that things like well pumps, microwaves, and even refrigerators don't need to run constantly or for very long to effectively provide you with the needed water and storage that you need during a storm outage. And of course, a little planning can go a long way. We've got some of these numbers here, the refrigerator at 0.8 kilowatts, Wi-Fi at 0.15. All that stuff comes again from Tesla and Department of Energy, depending on which one it is. We've got the links to that in the show notes over at electrek.co. Now, we talk about the list. Obviously, Tesla is only one manufacturer of backup batteries. We've got a whole bunch of them from EcoFlow, Enphase, all of those on this list here. We'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. Finally, as many people in the comments have pointed out, if you already own an EV, you can power your home with it. If it is one of these, obviously not every EV has vehicle to home capability quite yet. We will have a list of those that do here in the show notes. And finally, this one from Michelle Lewis, 8 tips for the best EV winter range and performance. Since most of the U.S. is still dealing with this winter storm, we're republishing these tips as a refresher, especially for folks who aren't used to this kind of weather. Now, moving on from the weather, it is definitely cold, cold, cold here in the U.S. Another thing that's cold here in the U.S. seems to be demand for Tesla's Cybertruck. Tesla is now taking the Cybertruck to the Middle East amid a collapse in U.S. demand. That's according to Fred Lambert, who writes, Tesla has officially begun Cybertruck deliveries in the UAE, marking the electric pickup's first sales in the Middle East and its second international market after South Korea. He's got a tweet here from Tesla Europe and the Middle East showing about 63 Cybertrucks handed over at a launch event in Dubai's Al Maamoun Desert area following a light snow for the occasion. Pricing in the UAE starts at $404,900. That's approximately $110,000 US for the dual motor all-wheel drive, significant premium over the $79,990 US price. The tri-motor Cyberbeast, meanwhile, is priced at about $114,000 in the US and $123,000 in the UAE. So that seems to be a little bit of a better deal. Now, a demand collapse for its most visible new product in the last decade is no good for Tesla. This is also bad news for Tesla. Xiaomi SU7 has outsold the Tesla Model 3 in China for the first time. For the first time since Tesla launched the Model 3 in China in 2019, another automaker has outsold it in the premium electric sedan segment, and in this case, it's a smartphone company. Xiaomi has delivered 258,164 units of its SU7 in 2025, nearly 30% more than Tesla Model 3's 200,361 deliveries. That's according to data from the China Passenger Car Association. Bad, bad news for Tesla. I'm sure the stock will be up at least 5% on that news. Now, finally, we like to end these talking about the environment, talking about sustainability, talking about the grid. On that note, Duke Energy has brought online a $100 million 50 megawatt battery project just in time for this week's wicked weather. Duke Energy is powering up a 50 megawatt grid battery at the former Allen Coal Plant, a major infrastructure upgrade that can help stabilize the grid and drive down energy costs across the Carolinas. Built on the shuttered Allen Coal Plant on Lake Wylie in Gaston County, North Carolina, Duke Energy's new 50 megawatt battery storage system arrived both under budget and ahead of schedule. The $100 million project, which has been serving customers since November, marks a departure from the delays typical of first mover infrastructure and points to a maturing, bankable battery energy storage sector. Quote, "We are building new resources to help keep the Carolinas economy thriving while reinvesting in a former coal plant community that helped power this region for decades." That's according to Kendall Bowman, president at Duke Energy North Carolina. "Repurposing existing energy infrastructure and taking advantage of federal funding significantly offset costs for our customers while continuing to support rapid growth across the region." Duke is setting up the lithium ion based BESS as a sort of grid shock absorber, storing excess clean power during low demand hours and pulling it out during peak demand times, providing the utility extra flexibility to deliver more affordable power to consumers without the need to build out new transmission capacity or gas-fired peaker plants. That's all I've got for today, January 26th. And those of you who live near me, if you're in Chicago, you're on ComEd, and you have hourly pricing and you follow those rates, you might have seen earlier this morning, we were at negative 24 cents per kilowatt hour, plugged in my Volvo and charged it up. Thanks for paying for that, guys. And be sure to like and subscribe. Maybe we'll put that on there. We'll see what the kilowatt hour prices were, the low for the week here. We'll see if we can get any information in the comments. Once again, like and subscribe. Thanks for listening.